Hi, friends. This episode of the Cozy Lung Lounge is brought to you by Hootenanny Joy, where your health and wellness take center stage. At Hootenanny Joy, we know how overwhelming it can be to stay on top of your health, especially when life gets busy or chronic illness adds challenges. That's why we've created self-study programs designed to meet you right where you are. These programs are simple, flexible, and packed with tools to help you thrive. And they come with something extra, access to a live health coach, that's me, to guide you every step of the way. Whether it's improving your sleep, learning to nourish your body, or managing stress, our programs combine proven science with practical real-life strategies. You can work at your own pace, get the answers you need during coaching sessions, and feel confident you're making progress. Ready to take that first step? Visit HootenannyJoy.com to explore the programs and choose the one that fits your journey best. Hootenanny Joy, because your health deserves a little joy. Welcome, everybody, to the Cozy Lung Lounge. We are now in season two, and so I'm really happy to celebrate with everybody. Thanks for coming back, Amy and Kelly, for another round with me.
Wouldn't miss it.
I am so excited for season two. This is going to be a pretty awesome season. I'm really going to enjoy kind of getting down into the nitty-gritty. Season two is all about going through each individual pulmonary health condition or pulmonary disease and really breaking it down, looking at all aspects of it. And the first episode that we're going to do is really basic. So today we're going to go all the way back to the basics, talking about the blueprint on or the blueprint of breath. So we're starting all the way at the very beginning, learning everything about our breathing and what should be going on so that we can understand all the further episodes. So this one episode, I think, is going to carry us through the whole rest of the season. So if you're interested in season two and interested in hearing more about your specific condition, make sure you listen to this episode before you listen to that one to really give yourself a good foundation for what's to come.
Absolutely. I'm excited for this season because we're really going to drill down into each and every lung condition and lung issue one by one. And I know that some people have more than one. So if it doesn't seem to be a complete explanation of what's going on, you may have some other things happening, but bear with us. It'll all be interesting. Because even if, for example, we're into the episode on asthma and you don't have asthma, maybe you know somebody who does, or maybe you know somebody who has a child with asthma. And information is always important. Knowledge is always power.
This is going to be really fun because I know many questions I get in person, you know, what are the different kinds of COPD? Why, how is emphysema different than bronchitis? How does asthma figure in there? You know, what if I have pulmonary fibrosis? So we've got, you know, 10 or 12 ideas for diseases or conditions. But if you have more or something interesting or specific we should talk about, please leave that in a comment or suggestion for us. We have social media on the Facebook, and we can be reached by email and just leave a comment under the episode you're watching today.
So I think we're going to go ahead and get started by talking about the healthy lung. So talking about normal anatomy and physiology, what that looks like, basically, just to give you guys a really good base with what everything should look like with your lungs, how they should be working, and how they should look. And then we'll compare that to different conditions later on.
I think if we're going to talk about healthy lungs, we need a picture of what healthy lungs actually look like. I'm going to attempt to share my screen here. And Amy, you can kind of talk along.
Welcome to the Healthy Lung Lounge Anatomy and Physiology Lesson. We're going to talk about key structures in the lungs, the jobs of the lungs, and just some other fun tips along the way. Kelly's got a picture up that she's going to describe for us.
So your lungs are very intricately interwoven with your heart. That's why oftentimes it's called a cardiopulmonary doctor or a cardiopulmonary department, depending on where you go to see your doctor. But essentially, if you follow along here, you have your larynx, which is your voice box. You breathe in, air comes down your trachea or the windpipe here. Then it branches off to the left or to the right lung. What's powering all this is your diaphragm. This is a big muscle here, dome shape that kind of curls back a little bit behind the lungs. And every time you take a breath in, that diaphragm pulls down or flattens. And as it pulls down and flattens, it pulls air right into your lungs. And the diaphragm and the lungs are interesting in that they are part of the autonomic nervous system, which means when you go to sleep, you breathe automatically. But also, it's the one function where you can say, I'm going to take a deep breath now, and then you can do it. And in the middle of all this, of course, is your heart. And this doesn't get too much into the vasculature, which is fine. But your heart is what's pumping blood through your lungs. It is dropping off blood that's full of carbon dioxide so we can exhale it, and it's picking up oxygen so it can take that blood and circulate it back through the body. Ladies, did I miss anything?
I think the main thing to get into a little bit further too is the bronchi and then the alveoli down below. So as you get a little bit deeper into the lungs, you have what we call alveoli and alveolar sacs, and that is where a lot of the gas exchange occurs. So that's where you bring in the oxygen and get rid of those byproducts like carbon dioxide.
So if you're listening, you have to use your imagination here quite a bit, but if you're watching, this is drilling way, 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 way down to the very bottom of your lungs. These are your alveoli or your air sacs. And if you look closely, there's a capillary network that kind of winds itself around each one of these air sacs. So it's very important to keep those air sacs healthy. What leads into the air sacs is called the terminal bronchioles. So we want to keep all of this open and clear and clean, and keep your air sacs, your alveoli clean and clear. And that way, when blood comes and winds itself around the air sacs, it can drop off that carbon dioxide, pick up that oxygen, and take it back to the heart to distribute to the rest of your body. So when we talk about COPD, emphysema, asthma, things like that, there's different areas of the lungs or the air sacs or the terminal bronchioles that are affected. And when we talk about cardiac disease, there's different areas that are affected as well, and they work together.
You've got some trachea, bronchi, bronchioles. Those are the tubes that conduct the air in and out, and that's ventilation. And then you've got respiration, which is a little different, but that's that gas exchange across that alveolar capillary membrane. Does that sound right?
That's it. And so what about the pleura? There's something different called the pleura, which some people may have heard of from their doctor. What exactly would that be? Because that's not something that I think people normally talk about.
Well, the pleura is kind of like there's two of them. There's a visceral pleura and a parietal pleura, and they're two very thin membranes that have fluid in between them. So if you think about it, they kind of slide across each other. My hands are put together if you're listening as a podcast. They slide across each other, and that fluid, for example, when you take a big breath in, your lungs expand. That parietal and visceral pleura need to expand with it. As you exhale, they come back together. So if you have any kind of absence of that pleural fluid or any kind of irritation of the pleura itself, any kind of infection of that area, it's going to make it really difficult to breathe. And your best defense against that is drink plenty of water, plain water. Don't get dehydrated drinking sodas and coffee all day. Drink a lot of water.
So all in all, how that healthy lung works is when you're going to take a deep breath, that diaphragm contracts and it pushes down. Your air is able to rush into your lungs, fill your lungs with air. Then it goes all the way down to the lowest part and performs that respiration where that gas exchange occurs. And then to get rid of all your air, all you have to do is relax that diaphragm and all your air just kind of rushes out of your lungs. So it is almost backwards of what people normally think. So the hard part is the breath in, and then your exhale is normally just really nice and relaxed.
When you breathe, we talk a lot about breathing in through your nose and out through your lips. There's a little bit of scientific background to that. When you take the deep breath in through your nose, you also are inhaling something called nitric oxide that your nasal passages give off. When you breathe that all the way down into the deep parts of your lungs, that nitric oxide opens up the blood vessels that are next to those air sacs. And so breathing through your nose is nice and slow and relaxed, but it also helps to promote that respiration at the air sacs. We have you blow out through closed lips to slow down your exhalation if you have chronic lung disease. But if you're breathing mindfully for relaxation, that long exhale helps to relax you. And so in the nose, out the mouth, really gets that air conducted all the way down to the deep parts of your lungs.
I have another picture here I'd like to bring up, if that's all right, because I ended up drawing this for my patients, just trying to explain the different ways that we oxygenate and ventilate, because we need to do both. So if it's all right with everybody.
And quickly, while you're pulling that up, Gina, a lot of times everybody out there will hear that as pursed-lip breathing or smelling the roses and blowing out the candles. So if that is a phrase that you've heard, that's exactly what Gina was talking about, is that pursed-lip breathing or the smelling the roses and blowing out the candles.
Living with a chronic respiratory condition doesn't mean giving up the things you love to do. At Blue Zone Health, we're here to help you breathe easier and rebuild your strength. Our online cardiopulmonary rehab program offers tailored exercises, self-management training, and expert support from certified respiratory therapists. Accessible anytime, it's designed to reduce breathlessness, improve lung function, and empower you, all while connecting you with a supportive community. Visit bluezone.health and take the first step towards stronger lungs and a healthier future. Blue Zone Health. Breathe better, live better.
So this is my silly drawing that I did, but I had so many of my patients ask me about what is going on in their lungs, depending on what's going on in their lungs. And so I said, this is so how you ventilate, which means get rid of carbon dioxide, and this is how you oxygenate. So step one is you're inhaling and exhaling. So Gina talked about pursed-lip breathing and diaphragmatic breathing. So from a side view, the diaphragm is kind of domed and curved, as you saw in the first picture. And as you breathe air in, that diaphragm comes down and goes flat. And what happens is in certain lung diseases, if you don't do your pursed-lip diaphragmatic breathing and you don't exhale all that air, the diaphragms kind of go down, 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 down until they end up almost permanently flat. And then the trouble with that is your diaphragm doesn't have anywhere to go when you want to take a deep breath. So doing your pursed-lip and diaphragmatic breathing and exhaling completely will help the diaphragm come back up where it belongs and return to its dome shape. And then the second way we oxygenate and ventilate has to do with what's in your air sacs. So if you have oxygen in your air sacs, clean, fresh oxygen, that is what's going to be distributed into the pulmonary vasculature. If you incompletely exhale all the time, you don't do your pursed-lip breathing, and your air sacs are full of carbon dioxide, stale air that you haven't been able to get out, then that's what's going to circulate back into your system. That's going to make you feel really horrible and feel really tired. So again, going back to your pursed-lip diaphragmatic breathing, in through the nose, pursed lips, blow out all that stale air so you make room for oxygen to come in. The third thing that can happen is if you have thickened or blocked alveolar capillary membranes, which often happens in pulmonary fibrosis, occasionally in asthma, or if you've got fluid in your lungs, for example, you've got congestive heart failure, something like that, it's going to block the ability for that oxygen to get across into your bloodstream, and it's going to block the ability for carbon dioxide to work its way back to be exhaled so that we can make room for oxygen again. This can also happen with secretions. If you don't keep your airways clear, if you just let those secretions sit in there and don't practice your airway clearance, if you have a lot of secretions, then you make it difficult for the oxygen to get across and the carbon dioxide to get out. And then the last way is oxygen transport. So let's say we're doing our pursuit breathing, we've got oxygen in there, that's great, but you've got to be able to circulate that. So if your heart function isn't up to par, isn't 100% of what it should be, you have a slow heart rate or inefficient heart, what we call ejection fraction, it's going to take longer to circulate that oxygen. Another thing that's a really easy fix, and I see this a lot, is your hemoglobin levels. When was the last time your doctor checked your hemoglobin or hematocrit? Because that's what holds on to oxygen. So if you don't have a really good appetite or you don't eat a lot of things that contain iron, or you're low on iron, you may not be able to circulate. You may be full of oxygen here, but you may not be able to circulate that. So those are kind of the four biggies that I tell my patients that, you know, in order to really get optimal lung function, pursed lip, diaphragmatic breathing, make sure you exhale a lot, make sure your heart's in good shape, and clear your airways, keep them clear.
And that kind of transitions over into our next topic, which is all about shortness of breath and all of those different things that Kelly was just talking about. All of those four different categories can all lead to shortness of breath. So Gina, do you kind of want to explain, you know, what is shortness of breath? What is dyspnea? Maybe kind of compared to being out of breath, like what makes it different?
Sure. So the word dyspnea, the D-Y means dysfunction, and the P-N-E-A has to do with breathing. And so if you've heard of apnea, that's no breathing. Dyspnea is just disordered breathing. And so dyspnea is really whatever you think it is. If you feel like you're short of breath, then you are short of breath. I can't tell you one way or the other. When you are dyspneic, you can't catch your breath. You may not be able to get your air in, or you may not be able to get your air out, depending on the kind of disease you have. If your oxygen level is low, it may make you short of breath. If your oxygen level is high and you have that pump, that air pump that goes in and the pump that goes out, if it's not working, then you're also going to be short of breath, even with a high oxygen level. And so it really depends on the cause. We talked a lot about cardiology. And so if you can't circulate blood around your body or it gets backed up, that can cause shortness of breath. And I think we'll talk a little bit more about this here in a few minutes. But any one of those things that is disordered can cause shortness of breath. If you have mucus trapped in your lungs, that could cause shortness of breath. If you have a pulmonary embolism, that can cause shortness of breath. And they're all very, very different kinds of things. So just giving somebody an oxygen cannula will not fix shortness of breath. Oftentimes, this most valuable shortness of breath has a lot to do with your physical conditioning. And so I'm going to let Amy and Kelly talk about some of those things that contribute to shortness of breath.
Well, I think it's important to note on that, Gina, that just because you're short of breath doesn't mean you need oxygen. And so I have a lot of patients come in, they can barely breathe, but their saturations are up high. So that means there's something else. They're getting the oxygen into their system. It's just taking a lot of work to get it there. And we'll probably talk about that in a later episode. But I think that the shortness of breath also has to do with activity. And one of the things that we'll assess when you come to a pulmonary rehab program and a 6-minute walk is, how is your breathing? On a scale of 1 to 10 or whatever Borg scale somebody's using, how is your breathing in terms of what's normal for you? So I think we talked about this in an episode before, but I have people that sit in front of me and they're just working so hard to breathe. And I ask them, well, how's your breathing? Oh, it's fine, because that's your normal. And I have other people who look perfectly comfortable. You know, how's your breathing? Oh, it's really bad today. And so I just want to emphasize, there's no right or wrong answers. You do you. But sometimes we need a little refinement in terms of what is shortness of breath versus I'm out of breath because I just walked across the parking lot versus I can't catch my breath, I'm in trouble.
Now, sometimes as clinicians may feel, it may feel a little bit cold sometimes if you're short of breath and we're not paying attention to you. I see people that are short of breath in all areas of that kind of trajectory. And sometimes it's just normal shortness of breath where you need to sit down and catch your breath. Other times I'll make a note of it. Boy, this patient seems very short of breath compared to the numbers I'm getting either on the pulse ox or the pulmonary function machine. And that's a really important note for your clinician. If you're way short of breath, more than what we expect, really need to dig in further.
But don't be embarrassed about saying, I'm really short of breath, even though you may not look it. Or don't be embarrassed to say, you know, I'm really short of breath and I'm looking it and I'm feeling it. Because we need to, that really helps us gauge what we can do for you.
And sometimes, you know, when you're talking to somebody, there's a difference between being short of breath and out of breath. When I do exercise with people or when I'm talking with them about starting exercise, sometimes what I hear when I'm kind of asking them about their daily routines and how their breathing does on their day-to-day is they just say, I get really short of breath when I, you know, stand up and walk, or when I am getting ready in the shower, or if I'm brushing my teeth. And so some of that is shortness of breath, but some of that may be them being out of breath just because of a little bit of physical deconditioning. When you haven't done exercise for a long period of time and your muscles are very deconditioned, your muscles use up way more oxygen than they need to. And so that puts a lot more strain on your lungs and a lot more strain on your breathing. So learning how to kind of gauge whether you're having kind of a lot of shortness of breath from an exacerbation or whether you are just really out of breath because your muscles are not trained, that's a really big and a really important comparison. I work with people on saying, you know, they say, I've just been more and more short of breath. And kind of after talking with them, it's the solution may actually be the only thing that they need to do is exercise more. The only thing that they need to do is start working on endurance exercise and start working on lower body strengthening exercises to help tighten up those muscles, strengthen those muscles up, and teach them how to use a little bit less oxygen and how to be more efficient. And that can get rid of a lot of that shortness of breath for them that they're feeling on their day to day.
We don't want you to power through your shortness of breath. If you're short of breath for an easy fix reason, great. We're going to show you some exercises and really help you build that endurance. If it's something much harder, like you need to have a cardiac catheterization done because of a blockage, that's a very different reason. And so really reporting that and describing it's very helpful for your doctor.
Absolutely. And I see people after they've been to the doctor, after they've looked at the other reasons and nothing else is working, and maybe they don't need more medicine, they don't need more oxygen, then they come see me. And that's when I say, you know, it's actually pretty simple. All we need to do is just start exercising with you. And that will make all the difference in the world. And about a week to 2 weeks later, they can tell it does make a big difference pretty quickly. And it's amazing how, you know, just doing 20, 30 minutes a few days a week can make a big impact.
Well, I think for an intro, we've gone through quite a bit.
Before we leave the section on normal lungs and then some of the things that might go wrong, the dyspnea, I wanted to go through some of those things that I talked about earlier. So cardiovascular, you might have a heart failure because that's because your heart doesn't pump well. We're going to talk about all of these things in future episodes. So if you're interested, we'll be doing a much deeper dive throughout the year. When you've got your heart backing fluid up into your lungs, you really have a hard time breathing because you're almost, it's almost drowning. You've got a lot of fluid there in that alveolar capillary space. And so oxygen cannot get from your alveoli into the blood because there's a lot of fluid there already. You may be anxiety and panicked. As a respiratory therapist who worked through COVID, I had acute onset of anxiety during that. And I didn't realize really how much shortness of breath a panic attack will take away from you. In that case, the only thing that will really help is sitting down and doing that slow, deep breathing. You know, breathing in a paper bag, you know, that can help because if you're breathing too fast, you're exchanging gas very rapidly and your carbon dioxide in your blood may go down. You might get a little bit lightheaded. And that anxiety may get a little worse. Anemia is one where you're going to have not enough healthy red blood cells, so you can't carry the oxygen. You may have seen any examples of oxygen looking like a little train carrying oxygen molecules. And so that's true. If you don't have enough red blood cells to carry the oxygen around your body, you're not going to have enough breath there. If you have a neuromuscular disease or weak muscles, Parkinson's disease could do some of this. The Lou Gehrig's disease that you have are all muscle diseases. And that's when your pump can't work. The diaphragm they talked about just can't pump it in and out. Your intercostal muscles are a little bit weaker too. And so they're fatigued and they're using a lot of oxygen very fast. And so you might feel winded even if your lungs are healthy, the muscles surrounding them aren't. And then another cardiac kind of thing is pulmonary artery hypertension. And that is your pulmonary arteries are having a hard time conducting the blood into and out of your heart. So those are just some fancy things that you might hear from your doctor. And we'll go over those in future episodes, but I wanted to just kind of highlight some of the things that aren't breathing related that might cause shortness of breath.
Absolutely. And that can be really frustrating if you go in with shortness of breath and you say, you know, I feel like maybe I have COPD or I feel like maybe I have asthma. There are lots of other things out there that could potentially cause shortness of breath that aren't even related to your lungs, but then just kind of mess with that whole system a little bit. And if you do have a pulmonary health condition, you know, if you have been diagnosed with asthma, COPD, and something doesn't quite seem right, and your breathing doesn't get better with a change in medication, but you know that maybe you have heart failure, that may be time to talk to your cardiologist, because sometimes that shortness of breath can be completely unrelated to your COPD or your asthma. It could be your heart. So make sure that you know the connection between the heart and lungs. It really can be very intertwined. And just make sure if you do know that you have some sort of cardiac condition or you have some sort of anxiety, to make sure that you consider that when it comes to your breathing. If you feel like your breathing's not getting better with medications and with what you have decided to do with your doctor on that.
Boy, we have a lot to talk about this season. There's about, how many diseases did we mention today? 20?
At least.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. And the more I think everybody knows this stuff, I get another person or 5 or 10 people through my pulmonary lab that week that have never even heard of a spacer or don't know what COPD is. So this is a message that needs to be out there. And if you're watching this and your family or friends or neighbors have this condition, please share this episode with them because it could really be helpful to somebody.
Thanks for joining. We will see you guys next time in our asthma episode.
Bye, everybody. I'll see you again on the Cozy Lung Lounge.
Hi, I'm Kelly, a registered respiratory therapist with Blue Zone Health. Do you feel breathless much of the time? Are you unsure of how to manage your breathlessness? Is it keeping you from doing all the things that you would like to do? I'm here to help you learn to work with your healthcare team to come up with a plan that will work for you. There are lots of tools, tips, and tricks, and breathing exercises that you can do now that will help you breathe easier and more effectively. I look forward to joining you on this journey and empowering you to breathe better.